The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone here today. We're going to be going back to 1 John. Last week we did the last, and I mean it this time, it was the last sermon on the perspectives, new perspectives of prayer, as we were studying the prayers of the Apostle Paul. So we're going to be in today 1 John chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 12 to 14. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And while you're turning there, it's a story that's told about a little boy and his father who were driving down a country road on a beautiful spring afternoon. And suddenly, out of nowhere, some of you might have heard the story before, a bumblebee actually flew in the car window. Since the little boy was deathly allergic to bee stings, he became very, very scared. And his father quickly reached out and grabbed the bee. And he squeezed it in his hand, and then he released it. But as soon as he let the bee go, the young boy became frantic once again as it was buzzing by the little boy. Now, the father had sensed the terror in his son, and once again he reached out his hand, but this time he pointed at his hand, and there, stuck in his skin, was the stinger of the bee. "You see this?" he asked. "You don't need to be afraid anymore. I have taken the sting for you." Christians, we do not need to be afraid of death, because Christ has taken the sting out of death, taken the sting out of sin. As the scripture says, "O death, where is thy sting?" And why is this? If this is the case, because of this thing called salvation. The salvation that we experience from Christ, and we, many of us can all attest to this, it is an amazing thing. Because of what Christ has done, we experience life and life more abundant. Family, death no longer has victory over us. And family, for us today, it's important for us to be reminded of this thing, this wonderful thing that we experience, this thing called salvation. Reason why this is important for us to be reminded of it is because of this thing called society. Society and our current culture. See, what happens is today, society and our culture, they like to promise hope. They like to give us purpose, but they like to do it through artificial methods and ideologies. But in the end, all it brings us is even more despair. What the world even promises is they promise security, promise happiness through its material goods, its services, its experiences, but in the end, we feel just as empty as we did before. Now, sure, many of these things, it seems like in our culture today, a lot of these things that we desire, things that we want to experience, the services, the material goods, experiences, all of these things, in some ways, they operate like drugs. You think about it. They operate like drugs. We get it. It's like a momentary high, and then a crash. And then after we get the crash, then we're jonesing for the next experience, the next video game, the next movie, the next event, the next trip, the next item that we bought from Amazon, or the next show on Netflix that we're going to spend an entire weekend binge watching. But the question is, why do these things not help? I mean, it would seem like if an individual got the best that life has to offer, why does it seem like it just doesn't help? Why? Because here is the real truth of it. The world and its resources, they do not, or does not, or better yet, cannot give us what we really need. Do you know why? Because the only thing that can fulfill our need and bring true satisfaction to our souls is our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me think about it. What we need to experience, we need to experience something deep down inside. And you know what that thing is? It's called forgiveness. Forgiveness. It's so important for us to receive forgiveness. But here's the thing. Even when we get forgiveness from people, why does it seem like it doesn't bring us peace? When we do wrong things to other people, and we go to those people, and we ask for forgiveness, we receive forgiveness from those people, why is it that we just can't seem to get peace? The reason why that is because we don't need to just get forgiveness from those people. We need to get forgiveness from God. Now, why is that? It's that way because remember David said, even after David sinned against Uriah and Bathsheba, what did he say? He said to the Lord, "Against you and you alone have I sinned." We need to know the deep caverns in our mind. We need to know Christ. In our world today, we're trying to accumulate knowledge. We're trying to get information. We want more and more knowledge. But all the study and all the research, all the tech and all the merch, in the end, the increase of knowledge under the sun only increases more sorrow under the sun. Ecclesiastes. So what is it that we need? We do need knowledge. But what we need is we need the knowledge of Christ. And what else do we need? We need to get a real grip on the absolute truth to overcome the deceptions of the evil one. So you see, we need to overcome the evil one with absolute truth. We need a real knowledge of Christ, and we need to experience true forgiveness. All of these things that we need so desperately are things the world cannot give us. The world can't deal with these issues. I mean, think about it. People will say, well, hey, Shane, what is the biggest problem that we face in life? I know many of you are probably expecting me to say taxes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and all these types of things. But you know what our biggest problem in life is? The wrath of God. Think about that. That's the biggest problem we as human beings will face in life. The wrath of God. There is nothing that we will ever experience that's going to be worse than that. And then people will say, okay, well, Shane, okay, I got the biggest problem in life. What is man's greatest weakness? O ye of little faith. And here's the thing. And the reality is because of all the worldly deceptions and demonic deceptions that we have, we are walking around with this problem and this weakness, and we are clueless of this reality because we're deceived. The salvation of the Lord sets us free from all of this. Walking around in darkness and all of this, the Lord gives us light. And the Lord set us free. And family, here's the thing. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. That's why we can have peace. Salvation of the Lord sets us free from all this. How, Jane? How does it set us free? This is what we're going to look at today. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I have written to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. God's word lives in your hearts and you have won your battle with the evil one. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, help us all to hide its truths within our hearts that we might not sin against you. And so, Father, we thank you that your word will accomplish its purpose in our lives today. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so if you're taking notes, the first thing we're going to look at today is John's first exhortation to those who believe. And that exhortation is something completely, it's just awesome. It's called the forgiveness of sins. The second thing we're going to look at is John's second exhortation to those who believe, especially for those who are mature in the faith, is that they know the Father and they know the Son. The third thing we're going to see is how by strength we overcome the evil one and we are strong. Why? Because of the word of God. And the last thing we're going to see is how we find hope in Christ as proclaimed by the gospel that he preached. So the thesis statement today is this: though sin and the deceptions of this world will bring confusion to what is that which ultimately brings us hope, it's the power of the Spirit, the truth of the gospel of Jesus, that is the power of God for salvation, that will truly give us what we need for life and life more abundant. And that's what we're going to find today. And this is what we're going to see that we have. So point number one, the forgiveness of sins. Family, he will remember our sins no more. Man, I love the way that sounds. I love the ring of that. He will remember our sins no more. First things first, before we jump to that, watch this. The categories, he does use some categories here, right? Little children, fathers, young men. And for some commentators, they take it to mean just that, children, fathers, and young men. But I think a better understanding for us when it comes to this is more maturity levels of those of the faith. So little children are essentially those who just got saved. Young men are those who have been Christians for, you know, some time. And fathers are those who have been saved the longest. Dr. John Stott, he writes this: but the distinctive content of the message addressed to the three groups favors the view of some ancient Latin commentators, such as Augustine, that they represent three different stages of spiritual pilgrimage. The dear children are those newborn in Christ. The young men are more developed Christians, strong and victorious in spiritual warfare, while the fathers possess a depth and stability of ripe Christian experience. Now, I just wanted to throw that out just so that you know that I wasn't going to jump this, because my intention actually is not to spend too much time on this, but to spend more time on the gospel realities of these categories. Okay? The first thing John reminds them of is that their sins are forgiven. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. 1 John chapter 2, 12. I am writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. Forgiveness of sins, family, is truly at the heart of the gospel. Peace in our heart. Peace in our soul. Knowing, I love this, knowing, and we can say and we can sing, it is well with my soul. Forgiveness of sin brings that peace. And not only is this an important piece to the gospel, but did you see and recognize in the book of Acts that this is an important piece of apostolic preaching? They preach the forgiveness of sins, family, that he will remember our sins no more. Now the beautiful thing here is the phrase. I just want to share a little bit of Greek here with you. Okay, just bear with me here because you'll see how amazing this is. In the Greek, the phrase "your sins have been forgiven." Okay, now even when it comes to the English, it may seem a little funny that they're saying things like "your sins have been forgiven." The reason why it's translated that way is because it's in the perfect tense. So if you're taking notes and you want to look later, it's in the perfect tense. Basically what that means is this is a past action that has continuing effects. So the translation, "your sins have been forgiven," is a great translation. But how can we understand that with this perfect tense? It's like this. Your sins have been once and for all forgiven, and will never be brought up before God again. That's how we understand that. That's how we see it. When you know, just kind of a way to understand that kind of in its fullness. That's the thing about, you know, sometimes when it comes to the Greek and we translate it from Greek to English, that we lose some, you know? Past actions with continuing effects, meaning that once it's gone, it's gone. Family, He will remember our sins no more. There was a story that I was reading about an experience that this author had. And she writes, "One day, while I was grieved over some past failures, dealing with some sin that she had done, she received a letter from a friend who told her how she and her granddaughter had been watching a plane skywrite." You guys, you all know what that is, right? When you got a plane and it has the smoke and they write in the sky, right? And then the little girl was watching this, and the little girl was puzzled when the words began to disappear. Suddenly she piped up and she said this, "Maybe Jesus has an eraser." She writes this, "In her innocent wisdom, I realized that just as skywriting disappears, Jesus wipes away all things that we bitterly regret, all of our sins. No matter how much we as mature Christians, we try to compensate our memories, our failures, these things a lot of times, let's be honest, don't they just kind of rise up? And it's like the enemy in the world will remind us of the things that we have done in the past. But family, you have got to remember this. With God's forgiveness, in this passage of scripture, we see something very, very clear. Your sins have been forgiven, meaning Jesus has an eraser. He will remember our sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our sins from us. We need to hear this more. Forgiveness of sins. As to how amazing and how awesome this is. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 12. "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." Now here's a big one, family. John adds, through Jesus. And this is where it gets really good. He adds through Jesus, or he adds in some of your translations could say for His name's sake. What he wants to make clear is that forgiveness that we receive came not because of anything we have done, but because of the work Christ did on the cross. Our sins are forgiven, not for our sake. They are forgiven for Jesus' sake. In other words, John is saying, your slate is clean and it will always remain clean because Jesus died in our place, all for His name's sake. And because of what Christ has done, what Christ did on the cross, family, He will remember our sins no more. It's important for us to get this. It's very important for us to see this. My sins are not forgiven for my sake. They are not forgiven for anything I have done, anything that I have deserved, but because of what Christ has done and what Christ has earned for me. My contrition, family, my repentance, my faith could never earn God's forgiveness. Those things are a means of receiving that forgiveness, but the forgiveness itself is granted to me for Christ's name's sake. God's forgiveness of our sins must be forever detached from anything we do. And if we do that, we can see and rejoice that He will remember our sins no more. Well, Shane, I mean, you say that that's important, but why is that so important when it comes for us, you know, in our day-to-day life? This is how I rejoice. This is why I rejoice. I've got to see. And when I see that my salvation did not come by anything I ever did, you know what that means? It means that I will never lose it because of anything I do. Oh, man. Isn't that like sometimes in life that's the most crippling thing? You know? It's just like, you know, you try really hard and we do these things and we pray in the morning, we do our devotions, and we walk out the door, we're on our way to work, we're stuck in traffic, and somebody does something, and hopefully not anybody here in the church, maybe an expletive comes out of our mouth. And we get upset and we get angry. It's like, why? And then it's like, oh God, why did I do that? Why did I get so upset? Why did I get angry? I'm so sorry that I sinned. And we repent of our sins. But could you imagine, like, if it was in the back of your mind? You know, sometimes the enemy can do this. I think that we do this to ourselves more. It's just like, Shane, look at what you did. Look at how you got upset and you got angry at that person who did something. How could you think that God could forgive a person like you? How could you think that you would ever be able to walk through the kingdom of heaven? Look at all the things that you did. And not only that, but then you start going through the back of your minds of things that you did even before that. The time that, you know, you were in the restroom or in the bathroom and you were brushing your teeth and you got upset with your wife because she, you know, sprayed perfume and sprayed you in the eye. You know, and it's just like, and I'm all angry with her. But even before that, you know, when we were in bed, you know, that night and you're sleeping and here's your wife, she's sleeping and snoring, and then you reach over and you plug her nose. Even before that, even before you went to bed, you know, you guys were having an argument because she was so upset with you as to your behavior in front of her parents while you were watching the Bronco game that Sunday. And then you start to remind yourself, look at all these horrible things that you have done. Look at these things that you have done. How in the world could you think that you are a child of God? How could you think that you are a king or a queen of the kingdom of heaven? Look at all of these things that you have done. And I can quickly say, because of the word of God, that this has nothing to do with what I have done. My salvation, my life, my inheritance comes not because of my work or my effort, but because of the work that Christ had done and His death on the cross. Guys, I'll tell you what, my blood may fall and drain away, but the blood of Christ will fall on me and wash me whiter than snow. I'll never lose it because of anything that I do. In our life, our future glory depends not on our work, but depends on the mighty work of Christ and Christ alone. Our salvation depends on Christ and Christ alone. And I am so thankful to read scriptures like that where it says that He will remember our sins no more. And see what's happening in our world today. And this is unfortunate. Unfortunate things are happening today. A different message is actually being given. Instead of talking about how our sins can be forgiven, nowadays, it's talking about how sins aren't really sins. Hey, let's change the definition of some of these sins so that they're not sins anymore. Well, that person didn't lie. Oh, no, that's not a lie. You know, that what that person did was that person made factual statements that were contradictory. That's all it was. What we're doing is we want to redefine these sins so that they're not sins. So what happens is the posture in our world today is, I don't need forgiveness because I didn't really do anything wrong. And that's what happens. It can get frustrating sometimes, you know, talking to some of my own relatives, where it's just kind of like you're talking about sins and it's just like, well, you don't need to be talking to me. You need to be talking to your uncle who's in prison right now. That's who you need to be talking to. Well, what about this? Oh, well, these things aren't, they're just mistakes that I have made in this world. And because they're just simple mistakes, there's nothing that I have done that I should really go to hell for. I know, family, of people who believe this. But here's the thing. There is no real peace in their heart. Why? Because their sins are really sins. They are really wrong. And the Bible says that if you break even the smallest of the commands, you are as guilty as an individual who has broken all of it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and it is on record. What we need is to not redefine sin. We need to be forgiven of our sins. Some say, oh, Shane, watch this here. I'm gonna run through your house a little bit today. I'm not gonna take off my shoe. Sorry. Some say, Shane, don't do this. You don't need to be talking about sins and things that people do. It's bad for people's self-esteem. Shane, it's bad for their self-image. Or better yet, it's bad for their brand. Yeah, for those of you that are up to date with things, it's bad for your brand, that's what people will say these days. And this is going on, but family, we're missing it badly. Because what happens is it creates those who just can't seem to shake the nagging, dragging hook of guilt. And they walk around pretending to be something we are and pretending to be those who have experienced something that we haven't, pretending to be at peace and with a rumbling war that's raging within our hearts. Family, watch this. We are not to ignore sin. We are to confess sin. And when we do, he says he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to run from this issue. We don't have to run from sin anymore. See, we're not to redefine sin. We're to repent of our sins. And when we do, we are covered with the blood of Christ and washed whiter than snow. We're not to deny sin, but to bring it before the Lord today and find redemption through the blood of Christ, and he will remember our sins no more. See, we don't need to look for worldly methodologies or to try to learn to, you know, one of the things that I was reading in psychology, one of the magazines for psychology today is about our biggest problem is that we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And they gave all these principles and steps as to learning how to forgive yourself, looking in the mirror and forgiving yourself. And if we can all learn how to forgive ourselves, then we will find the peace. But the problem is that they're finding that when people are doing these types of things and doing their methodology, they still don't find peace. Do you know why that is? Because it's not trying to learn how to forgive ourselves, but receiving the forgiveness of Christ. That's what we need. Oh, Shane, this is bad for self-image. Well, let me tell you this. I don't want to look in the mirror and find hope because I'm looking at a good image of myself. I want to see the image of Christ. don't want esteem in myself. I want to glorify Christ. I don't want to find worth in myself. I want to worship the one who is worthy of all praise. And forgiveness of sins, family, this is where it's at. If you are a Christian today, you are forgiven of your sins. He will remember them no more. You see? I think this is even better than some of these methodologies that don't work, number one. But even if they do clean you, we're not all that clean, are we? Number two, knowledge of the Father and of the Son, the surpassingly great thing. We know the Lord. This is huge, family. Here's one of the things. So as a Christian, you experience the forgiveness of sins. The other thing we experience is you get to know the Lord. Oh, man. Seems so simple, doesn't it? We get to know Christ. What an amazing thing it is to know Christ, the surpassingly great thing. What do I mean by that? Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. This is what the Apostle Paul says. What is more, I consider everything a loss. Okay, now I will pause there because I just want you to know that this is a very puzzling Greek word for some commentators, you know, or translators, right? Translators will see this Greek word and they're not exactly sure how they're supposed to translate this. If you have the NIV, if you have the NIV version, I think it says rubbish. What is more, I consider everything rubbish compared to the surpassing greatness of the worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Oh, I'm sorry. Here's the one. Not lost. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Okay? I'm looking at the Greek text and I got those two words flipped. I consider them garbage. All these things, everything in this world, he says, I consider them garbage. They're not exactly sure what to do with this word. Some of your translations will say garbage. Some of your translations will say rubbish. But if you have a King James version, I think it says dung. Dung. Considers them rubbish. Waste. Everything. This is what he's saying. This is what he says. He looks at everything in this world and he looks at knowing Christ. Everything in this world, knowing Christ. He said, consider all of these things worthless compared to knowing Christ. I consider them garbage, rubbish, dung. That's what they're like compared to knowing Christ. Everything is a loss. Everything worthless when compared to the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. As Christians, we have the tremendous blessing of this being the case in our lives. We need to embrace it and understand and recognize that everything in this world is a loss if you're going to compare it to knowing Christ, the surpassingly great thing. Story is told after Mark Twain had made his triumphant tour through Europe, where he was honored by great universities, he was honored and even honored by kings. His daughter runs up to him and says, "Daddy, I guess pretty soon you will know everybody except God." Now, we hear that, right? And it's just like, it kind of hits you, doesn't it? You will know everybody except God. Doesn't that just seem so sad? You know, kind of depressing at the same time. See, we live in a time, our culture today, where it's all about who you know, right? It's all about who you know. You know, and for those of you that have known me for a little bit now, you know I'm a proponent of networking. You know, this is how you make it through life. You network. Yeah, you make friends, you collect business cards, you get to know, you know, you do the stuff, you get to know people, you network. Networking is how you're going to get through things. Networking is the way of the world, the way the world operates in many times. Remember I told you guys the story about a prestigious law firm in California where a friend of mine was actually picked over three Harvard graduates, Harvard Law School graduates, and my friend was picked to have that position as a lawyer in this prestigious law firm in California, you know? And he went to the law school in Hawaii. You guys know how famous the law school in Hawaii is? And some people will just be like, hey, I didn't even know they had a law school in Hawaii. Well, they do. He got picked. Three Harvard graduates, and he got picked. Do you know why he got picked? He got picked because the human resource director for that law firm used to hang out with him when they should have been in law school and should have been in class. They're out at the bar drinking. And they became friends. So guess why he got the job? See? Networking. Networking. When it comes to jobs, positions, promotions, opportunities, having lots of friends and lots of connections is great. But it's a very, very sad thing if you know everybody except God. This is what John makes clear. Not only are they forgiven of their sins, but they, especially the mature in Christ, experience something surpassingly great. Something that when compared to everything, everything is considered worthless. They know Christ Jesus. The surpassingly great thing. See, family, it's time to see everything in the world as they are. Sure, we have some cool things in this world that tend to get our attention, get to my attention. You know, I get distracted by things in this world because, you know, I'm like one of those guys that you're distracted by, you know, shiny objects, you know. You get distracted by the things in this world, and I know. But what Paul is saying here is even the best that the world has to offer pales in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. The conclusion after all has been heard is God and keep his commandments. Knowing Christ, the surpassingly great thing. Don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your strength. Don't boast in your riches. Boast only in that you truly know the Lord, the surpassingly great thing. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The surpassingly great thing. Forgiven, we know Christ, and we have overcome through the Word. Strong because of the Word of God. The Word of God, family, John is showing us here, the Word of God will make us strong. We've overcome so much in life as Christians, especially those of you who have been Christians for a while. We've overcome many things, strong enough to overcome even the evil one. John says they, specifically the young men, they overcame the evil one because they are strong. But when you read the verses together, we get this sense that they overcame the evil one because they are strong. But they are strong because of the Word of God. How is this possible? Well, it's like working out. I kind of look at it this way. Simple working out. Like lifting weights. Lifting weights, and you do it regularly. That's important. You know, not just in the month of January. Regularly. Lifting weights will make you strong, make you stronger, help you to build muscle. Studying the Word of God regularly, not just in the month of January. I know how we all at the beginning of the year, we get that read through the Bible in a year Bible. You know, and then right about the time you get into like February, you're already starting to run out of steam. Reading the Bible regularly, studying the Word of God regularly will make us spiritually strong. How strong? Strong enough to overcome the evil one. To overcome. And that, family, is a big, big deal for us. I'm going to get into this a little more, but it's a big deal for us to truly understand. We are called to be overcomers, not survivors. We're called to overcome. And how are we supposed to overcome? We overcome because we are strengthened by the power of the Word of God. The ultimate weapon of the evil one and this world is deception. Man, if they can, that's the deal. To fool us. To deceive us. That's the big thing. That's the big weapon. I mean, just today, I know that many of us are going to, you know, go home. We're going to watch the Bronco game. I know Flacco's down, but that's okay. We're going to watch the Bronco game. This is what my challenge is. Watch the commercials and see how many lies you can pick out. The lies are absolutely amazing. It's extraordinary just how many they are. That's what we do, right? We believe it. We're falling into this thing, this idea that if we buy this product, it'll make us be this person. Then we buy the product, and the funny thing is, we're the same person. Come on. Which one of you guys fell for that, you know, the booster commercial? Yeah, I'm sure some of you guys ordered the booster commercial. You know, makes you stronger, healthier, all that stuff, right? And some of my friends are like, some of my friends fell for it. Yeah, Shane, it doesn't work. Don't waste your money. But it's the commercial, right? It's just, you know, you're slouching around, you know, and you take these pills and it boosts your energy and you see the guys working out, seeing the guys doing that kind of stuff. And the next thing you know, you buy the stuff, 2 weeks go by, you still sitting on the couch catching up on your Netflix TV shows. The lies are absolutely incredible and they just keep coming. How are we supposed to survive this onslaught? The way we survive the onslaught is for us to combat lies with the truth. So family, pick up your sword of truth, sword of the Spirit, and let's use it to be overcomers in this world. We can overcome the evil one with the Word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I'm going to read all this because I want us to see this. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus took off his jacket, rolled up his sleeve, put his fist up, and punched the devil in the nose. Oh, that was a different translation. Okay. What happened? Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, For the scriptures say, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And so what happened? Jesus reached down, grabbed the wooden bat that he was carving, took the bat, he swung it, and smacked the devil on the head. Oh, wait, that's the translation again. What did Jesus say? The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan, Jesus told him. For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil went away and the angels came and took care of Jesus. This is the thing that's amazing about this. Absolutely amazing about this. Jesus overcame the evil one, did he not? And he didn't. He used the word of God. This is the word of God and how it gives us power to overcome the evil one. Sure, Jesus was God, but it wasn't superhuman strength. It wasn't laser beams that shot out of his eyes and burned the stomach of the devil. Jesus didn't even use power to control his mind to overcome the devil. And I think sometimes we're looking at these situations and feel like we've got to have some kind of supernatural, crazy experience for us to be able to overcome the things of the world or to overcome the enemy. But family, Christ made it very, very clear. The Word of God. And it's something you have right there. So family, the encouragement today is this. Grab your Bibles, dust it off, open it up, and let's read it so we can know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Strong because of the Word of God. Strong because of the Word. And the question is, I guess today is, where are we when it comes to the Scripture? Is it the truth of the scriptures that will help us to survive this world? No. The truth of the scripture will help us overcome this world. Because Christ didn't call us to be survivors. He called us to be overcomers. To be those that overcome the world. You know, the thing that blows me away is you realize that Christ actually asks us to do the impossible. Love your enemy. Love your enemy. And he expects that of us. He called us. He commands us to love our enemy. Calls us to be overcomers. He asks us to do the impossible. But why does he ask us to do the impossible? Not because of our own strength, but because Christ knows if you are a Christian, the Spirit lives in you. And we were never intended to do this on our own. We're overcomers, family. We are to be more than conquerors. He didn't tell us and call us to look in the mirror and to fall into survival mode. We got to get into survival mode. And he doesn't want us to look in the mirror, jumping into survival mode, singing, it took all the strength I had not to fall apart. Kept trying hard to mend the pieces of my broken heart. And I spent oh so many nights just feeling sorry for myself. I used to cry. But now I hold my head up high. He didn't call us to just be survivors. He called us to be overcomers. Not just overcoming the world, but overcoming the evil one. Not just lifting my head up high, but to lift up Christ so that he can draw all men unto him. to be overcomers, family. Not just survivors, but overcomers of the evil one. Strong because of the word of God. And I'll be honest with you here. Keep your Bible closed and you'll be a survivor. Maybe. Strong to overcome. Get in the word. Become an overcomer, not just a survivor. Don't walk into heaven smelling like smoke. Walk into heaven smelling like the pleasing aroma of a living sacrifice that's holy and pleasing to the Lord. Strong because of the word of God. That's the thing that's amazing about all this. Salvation. Right? Salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Man, I could have stopped there. But no. Knowing Christ. And Paul says knowing Christ, when you compare it to everything else is worthless. And not just survivors, but family, to be overcomers. Overcomers of not just the world, but overcomers of the evil one. We will be strong. And how can we be strong? The word of God. We got it. We all have it, right? If you don't have a Bible, at the end, we're going to call the elders up. If you don't have a Bible, come and grab one of the elders and they will give you one. Open it up. And be strong in the Lord. What an amazing thing we have here. Amazing from the Word of God, made clear to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that when we are saved, forgiven of our sins, we know Christ, strengthened by the Word of God, so that we can overcome the world and overcome the evil one. What a reminder of what we have in Christ. Now again, family, it's not just, you know, oh, well, look at what we're going to have in Christ. No! Look at what we have in Christ right now. I don't have to wait till I go to heaven for Christ to be my king. He's my king right now. I don't need to wait till I go to heaven to be empowered by the Spirit. I'm empowered by the Spirit right now. It's there. Family, let's also be reminded of why we needed to be saved in the first place. Remembering that the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And yes, because of our sin, the wrath of God was coming. Remember, I talked about the wrath of God. The Bible also says, oh, what a terrible thing it is to fall into the hands of a living God. We had sinned against the living God, rebelling against His law. Could there ever be forgiveness for the things that we have done? The deceptions of this world and the evil one continue to be abundant. Continue to tell us, no, there can't be any forgiveness for you. Look at all the horrible things that you've done. And these deceptions clouded our hearts, clouded our minds in sin. And the effects of sin in this world, and we were lost, and we didn't think that we were lost. Family, we needed light and strength of truth to overcome the evil one. So not only is it important for us to know Christ, and here's the big one, it's not only is it important for us to know Christ, it's just as important to be known by Him as well. Well, Shane, what do you mean by that? Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. Matthew chapter 7 verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name, performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I don't ever ever want to hear that? See, the thing. See, we say we know Christ. But here's the question. Does he know us? I know Christ. Does he know you? See, the scary thing, the sobering thing, the most sobering thing about this passage, these people think that they're Christians. Oh, man. These people think that they're Christians. They think that they're in Christ. That's why I love it, you know, when the epistles tell us to make our calling and election sure. If there's one thing clear in this passage, those who are cast away do not have a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus. How do you know that? Because they tried to justify their position in heaven by the things they did. Did you see that? Depart from me. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Look at what I've done. Didn't I do this? Man, I performed many miracles in your name, man. There are all these things, these amazing things that I have done. Don't you see? That's one thing that's abundantly clear here. They do not have a clear understanding of the gospel of Jesus. We need to make sure we got the gospel right, lest we too are cast away, not known by Christ. Again, we are not saved by what we do, saved by what we believe. John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29. John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29. They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What should we do?" Jesus told them, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." That's right. Just believe. The news is great, family. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. That Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Family, the promises continue. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is there. Salvation is here. Salvation belongs to the Lord. With it, family, comes forgiveness of sins. Knowing Christ and being known by him, and strength from his word to overcome the world, the evil one, and all the deceptions. And one more thing. O death, where is thy sting? Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.